Tonight I would talk about human beingness specifically because it is something that basically is malaligned, if you will. It is something that is misunderstood. And so I'm going to set the record straight simply because I've been studying human beingness for 54 years of my 59 years. And I think that it's something that's important to know because the invader culture mindset on this planet is antithetical to human beingness, it's antithetical to God, it's antithetical to existence. And we subscribe to the invader culture mindset hook, line, and sinker, and what exactly composes the mindset. The invader culture mindset is composed of traditions which are science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine. Hierarchy, the invader culture mindset is based upon hierarchy, elitism, superior, chosenness, good versus evil, under the protocols of conquering, enslaving, and destroying that are practiced humanly as war, greed, and class distinction. One of the curiosities about life as we are it is there's the nature of the design, which requires a creator and a bestower or father, that which brings to life what is created. one way of understanding human beingness is will of light and consciousness as mind, body, spirit, soul, according to God, Yahweh, Id, and universe. Id is the name of that which brought us to life. Yahweh is the name of that which created us within the context of God and universe. One of the things that's curious is that according to the dictates of negative service polarity, that the idea is to keep people steeped in pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide. The flip side of that is rather than pain, there is joy. Rather than fear, there is love. Rather than anger, there is patience or compassion. Rather than hatred, there is self-acceptance. Rather than violence, there is peace and harmony. Rather than depression, there is happiness. And rather than suicide, there is ascension. And the curious thing is death and ascension only involves the body. And so one of the opportunities that people have is just to resolve the idea of sin, sickness, disease, and death into fun, health, and rather than disease, wholesomeness or spirituality or spiritual discipline. And then rather than a reincarnation, we work within the context of ascension. A couple of the things that happen within the context of our life is that we work towards having a life in which we feel good most of the time. One of the things that we don't realize within the context of our experience is that we have an opportunity of feeling something joyful and loving, compassionate, kind. I work on gratefully appreciate happiness and feeling wonderful as my life on a consistent basis. And yes, things come up. And the idea is to develop what I refer to as process resolution of emotional causation. So within the composition or constitution of our life, we can move from something negative in a very short period of time. I do an exercise using sea salt in bowls where I dip my hands in the sea salt and I simply ask for any negativity absorbed and ground into my body for the last 24 hours, 24 days, 24 weeks, 24 months, 24 lifetimes, 24 millennia, whatever. To dissipate, dissolve, ground in the salt. And the cool thing is I've only been sick once for 10 days, and that was in March of 2013. Other than that, I have not been sick. Since then, I have not missed a day of work since 1983. The last day that I called in sick to a job was April of 1983. I began this process of using salt to denegatize the body in 1984. And so for approximately 32 years, I have basically been a happy camper, healthy person, and that type of thing. When we are looking at the nature of the design, there are eight states that make us human. The first is God. The second is universe. The second and the third and fourth is divinity and deity. The fifth and sixth is Yahweh and Id. The seventh and eighth are mom and dad. We get from mom and dad issues and talents. We get from Yahweh and Id love and light. We get from divinity and deity what can be thought of as authenticity, transparency. We get from God and universe of consciousness and will. And one of the things that we do within the composition or constitution of our life is we ourselves according to those. But more specifically, one of the things that's curious about energy is energy exists as the positive, the negative, and the neutral within the context of our humanity. We live according to the positive, the negative, and the arbitrary, which is kind of curious because if I take the Bible as a systems theory, there's the Old Testament of fear, judgment, persecution. There's the New Testament with the life of Jesus, which is love, forgiveness, doing unto others, which was his teaching. And then there's the theology of Paul, which is simply arbitrary, which is, it's sometimes positive, it's sometimes negative, it's sometimes just whims of the moment. One of the things that happens within the composition of our life is we are given an opportunity to recognize who we are according to the design as the image and likeness of God. One thing I find useful is there's the idea of God, there's the idea of the universe, there's conscious awareness within the context of individuality, and then from that there's contribution. Every single human being on the surface of this planet is responsible for polarizing, even within the context of self-service, as negative polarization as the left hand of God, or positive polarity, which is the right hand of God. One of the curious things that happens within the context of our life is the affectation of theories to keep us steeped in pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, and suicide. And they can all be healed. There isn't a state or condition within the context or composition of a person's life that can't be healed. Mayer Baker Eddy wrote The Science of Health as a compliment to the King James Version of the Bible, and one of the things that she was able to work at was she was able to heal people instantly, and it didn't make any difference what the circumstance or condition was. I said the curious thing is that when we hold to something that we feel, sense, think, and envision according to the mind, body, spirit, and soul as it pertains to the will of body, consciousness of God, Yahweh, and universe, what we find is that if we hold to things from the perspective of feeling, particularly within the context of negative, if the negativity that is absorbed or grounded in the body isn't released some way or healed in some way, it becomes a sickness, it ultimately becomes disease, and then it becomes the death experience. And death is only possible if fear has not been resolved. We are not designed to experience life according to sin, sickness, disease, and death, birth, crucifixion, death, and reincarnation. We are designed to experience life from the perspective of conscious awareness, enlightenment, God consciousness, miracle-mindedness in the same context or capacity as Jesus, and also universal conscious awareness. Those are disciplines that are available to anybody on the planet. Ultimately, the idea is that we become a healed healer and a teacher's teacher that ultimately ascends, taking the body with into a larger field of endeavor. Ascension means to rise above, to take with. One of the curious things is in order to facilitate the process, meditation is essential. It's almost like a person can't accomplish ascension without meditation. And meditation is allowing the nature of the self to be a state from God and universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, id, mom and dad, into any state as what is felt, sensed, thought, and envisioned. It is useful to have a meditation practice. It is also useful to have written and read books, either by the self or by others. And then it is useful to have vision boards because they help put in a concrete manner what the life can aspire to and what the life can become. And one of the nice things about meditation is that an individual can meditate and become God conscious. An individual can meditate, become enlightened. An individual can meditate, become miracle-minded in the same capacity as Jesus. A person can meditate and become universally conscious, aware. The only thing that's left from that is to make a contribution from a place of authenticity, humility, and transparency. In the context or composition of my life, what I have done is I have resolved lots of issues. I have developed the talent of writing. I have developed the ability to use my hands and feet as a martial artist. I have developed the ability to play music. I also am considered a wine connoisseur, which means that I have the ability to engage people from that level. One of the nice things about a life as we know it, there's the one, the oneness of synchronicity, or the right thing at the right time for the right reason with the right person or people. There's also clarity of insight that gives certainty, confidence, and trust. And the nice thing is that as an individual develops his or her path of purpose, it becomes an exponential process. One of the things about human beingness, it can also be thought of as sun is to the heart, what the earth is to the body, what the four phases of the moon are to the head, what consciousness is to the universe as soul. One of the things that I have learned is that my heart radiates like the sun, my body absorbs like the planet, my head is illuminated like the full moon, and I work at becoming consciously aware. So it becomes a curious process, because one of the nice things is that a person can see where they're at within the composition or constitution of their life as an evolution. One of the things that is curious within the context of human beingness is there's the invader culture mindset. There's the indigenous way of life, which is how we were created to exist as humanly. And then there's the arbitrariness of everyone else who just go about their business, where the primary focus is the ego as body within the composition or constitution of spouse, within the context of parent, within the context of work, also within the context of interests, which can be hobbies, whatever they are. There is nothing inappropriate or incorrect with an individual who simply decides to stick within the context of arbitrariness. The opportunity is always available for an individual to choose to serve, because according to the harvesters of souls, which I believe go by the name Etan, the only thing that is harvested or negative service polarity is harvested and removed to take it to that aspect of the universe that corresponds to activity. Those that are positive service polarized are those that continue the evolution until it collectively ascends. There is individual ascension, which is more negative than positive, and there's collective ascension, which is only positive. One of the interesting things about the death experience, it demonstrates three things for everybody to see and recognize. Death is the disparity between that which is real and true and the ego body that doesn't quite get it. Death is also proof that an individual did not have a self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating spirituality. And death also is proof that individuality in and of itself doesn't exist. According to the raw material, the last state in which individuality is possible is the third octave of sixth density, because the fourth octave of sixth density is a reunification of light, love, light, which means that individuality no longer exists from that point on. One of the more interesting visions that I have been given is that the only thing that exists at seventh density and higher are collectives that have ascended. And what happens is that when a collective traverses all of seventh density, then it reintegrates back into the original state and condition of God that gave rise to the entire creation. One way of understanding that is God's will to be and know extends and expands by inversely reversing into a focus, becoming conscious of that which gave rise to it, which is God, to service. Then one moves on into the larger playground of the universe. One of the interesting things is that the invader culture mindset was based upon equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, tranquility. When the indigenous way of life is lived true to its design, that culture will be disease-free. The interesting thing is disease is something that is man-made. Every disease that has afflicted human beings has been manufactured and deliberately introduced to the human population, because that is what the protocol calls for. Which is very, very interesting. So one of the things that people get to do within the context of their life as they get to decide what they want to feel, sense, think, and envision. What do they want to get involved with? What do they want to contribute? And how do they want to evolve? And so it becomes an interesting process because anything goes. The one curious thing about infinity is there is no such thing as superiority or elitism within the context of superiority. A grain of sand has as much relevance as a person, place, or thing. The sun is not greater or lesser than the earth. The earth is not greater or lesser than the moon. The moon is not greater or lesser than the sun or the earth. Plant is not lesser than or greater than a bug. A bug is not greater or lesser than a lion. A lion is not greater or lesser than a cat. And so on it goes. There is no such thing as a human being that is superior to another human being, regardless of what they have the ability to accomplish, like shooting basketballs well, or throwing a football well, or using a utensil well, or working on a vehicle well, and so on and so forth. It is absolutely sheer nonsense that we hold to the idea that there is such a thing as a superiority and elitism within the context of our humanity, because we have a financial gain and expression and contribution, which becomes very interesting. The two things that love and light do as a state is love accepts and understands. Light is even-minded and wise about, so that the work that is done within the composition or constitution of the life is to be accepting and even-minded according to understanding and wisdom from the point of reference that assists others in the same level of conscious awareness and contribution. One of the interesting visions that I've been given is there's God, there's universe, there's conscious awareness, there's contribution, and then there's the evolution of contribution into a greater level or state of existence, which means an individual goes from a planetary state to a universal state. And there is always, it is interesting when we look at, I'm going to be giving a talk on Sunday the 7th in Mount Shasta at the Chai Shop Studio. And one of the topic is going to be what are positive sources doing to offset every conspiracy theory, because one of the things that curious people act as if the only thing that's going on are conspiracy theories, and the positive basically is impotent, latent, non-existent, or not doing anything. And the simple fact is, according to the Raw, there are 500 members. They're called the Confederation of Planets, and all they work is allowing us to be joyful, loving, compassionate, kind, enlightened, aware, miracle-minded, feeling wonderful, holding hands, all that kind of good stuff. And so positive sources work at overcoming the effects of negative energy, desalting the body from absorbed energy prevents sickness and disease from manifesting. It is sickness develops over time when the negativity is not released from the body. It's the same thing with disease. Disease is the outcome of negative energy that has long-term effects on the body. It is why, as a rule, if people aren't healing the body of negativity, it simply means that the body is going to be affected adversely by negative energy. What people don't realize is the invader culture mindset is only interested in death, disaster, and destruction, disarray, chaos, so that from the perspective of individuals, there is only pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, and suicide. That is why the invader culture exists. It conquered, it has enslaved, and it's soon about to destroy. I recommend everybody listen to the Jehovah versus It tape. I'll give a synopsis. According to Ramtha, there is going to come a point in time after the turn of the century in which It, the Father of Man, and Jehovah, the warlord God are going to do battle in the heavens. It is going to be a battle of light. It is going to cause people to move into one of two modalities, love or fear. Those that move into fear are taken by Jehovah as Jehovah's own. Those who move into love are harvested. And after the earth has finished its cleansing, which I believe is going to take approximately 100 years, then the human population is reintroduced to the surface of the planet. And the good news is the energetic base of the planet, when it converts from third density or evolves or births from third density into fourth density, is it's going to be positronic energy rather than electronic energy, and only those who are positive are going to compose the human population. And right now the number is approximately 2 million people out of 7 billion. It would be very, very fascinating to me to see who, which author, and I've read approximately 40 about end time scenarios. According to Scallion, the earth land masses are going to be submerged under 300 to 600 feet of water, which is going to submerge every coastline on the planet, and 70% of the planet lives according to that. When we're looking at human beingness, the only thing that we are doing within the composition and constitution of our life is becoming conscious of what created us, what gave rise to us within the context of God and universe. And God and universe is the big picture, which we are the human beingness of. One of the curious things within the composition or constitution of our life is we are only here to make a contribution, and how we make a contribution is determined by how conscious one is. Ultimately, one has the ability to be God-conscious, like Zoroaster, enlightened, like Buddha, miracle-minded, like Jesus, and universally conscious aware, like a source that has ascended. I work on those four states daily. I also work on having a smile. I also work on being comfortable. I also work on being not too negative, and so on. And one of the things that I am reminded of every day is to be patient. And part of me that wishes that all of these things that I'm interested in happened yesterday, like getting hired by the post office. I'm still waiting, and I passed on everything a couple of months ago, and I still haven't had an interview. And the interesting thing is another job has opened up that pays $16.81 an hour to start, and hopefully I'll get that. I'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, in the meantime, I will continue to meditate, I will continue to feel good, and I will allow my life to develop into a way in which things are interesting. One of the unfortunate things within the context of people is they rely way too much on external people, places, and things to tell them where they should go, what they should do, what kind of development, and so on. It's one of the reasons why only one person on the planet basically listens to the sound of my voice, which is real interesting. She's listening to this show now, and for the most part, people simply aren't interested in an individual like myself who is as comprehensive as it gets. And it'll be curious to see how long it takes from now for the sound of my voice to be listened to by those people who are going to collectively ascend. And I don't think it's anybody of the current population. I have a feeling that we are not going to be in a position for collective ascension for approximately 1,000 years. Because there is a certain discipline that has to take place, and certain things have to end. According to Conversations with God, according to Neil Donald Walsh, nation state has to end. Race consciousness has to end. Gender disparity has to end. The invader culture mindset has to cease to exist. We can't have the predominant of things within the context of the composition of the planet as they are lived now, because they are antithetical to the human ideal, and that's what people don't realize. Science, religion, education, business, politics, law, and medicine are antithetical to the human ideal, to the human condition. So the question is that how long is it going to take for us to get to a point to where human beingness is what we are. Human beingness is what we're contributing, without the idea of class distinction, without the idea of greed, without the idea of war, which are the three primary predominants There's all kinds of stuff that take place on the surface of this planet that prevents us from being conscious of who we are within the context or composition of the life that we are living. The fortunate thing is that no one is responsible for anyone else's life. Not really. What we are responsible is assisting people in enhancing the quality of the life of who they are as a protocol or point of reference. Things is that no two people are the same, so the spirituality has to be unique to the individual. The great oxymoron on this planet is that 1 billion people are Hindus, 1 billion people are Buddhists, 2 billion people are Christians, 1 billion people are Muslim, and approximately 50 million people are Jewish. And those are antithetical because every single, you figure that's 4.5 to 5 billion people are practicing four systems theories as ideologies that are antithetical to spirituality as an infinite individualized realness / representation. So it becomes curious that in order for an individual to truly become spiritually minded, they have to walk away from every systems theory that's in place and develop intuition, psychic ability, and channeling within the context of the instantaneous, spontaneous, and simultaneous rather than the past, present, and future bound. One of the things that I have found is that spirituality within the context of meditation is going to differ from person to person to person. And yet, within the context of the life that we are as human beings, there has to be an understanding, there has to be truth that is a truth that works for everyone. And right now, there is not a systems theory in place that allows for that, because almost every system theory that is shared by other people on this planet is not comprehensive enough. One way of understanding the life that we are is joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony. Another is presence, business, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness, godhood. Another is oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, comprehensiveness, unity, union, connected, integration, reintegration. It is wise for individuals to understand that within the nature of the design, there is only oneness that heals wholeness into ascension according to God, life, the Christ, serving others, so that you have the oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of the Christ, and the ascension of that which serves others from a place of authenticity, humility, and transparency according to that which is real, true, conducive, and ongoing. So one of the things that is useful is to understand and recognize that everything as it is perfect as it is, and everything, particularly when it comes to a human being, is complete in and of itself. There is nothing, there is no lack, need, want, woe, fugal, arrogance, and all ignorance, indifference, and tolerance within the context of an individual as human and an individual who's conscious of that. Part of the work that we do is we simply work at becoming conscious. One thing that I do or work on is opening the heart, enlivening the body, fully activating the brain. There is also pathless purpose, enlightenment. God speaks, knowing the self according to his design, serving others, collective ascension. There's also intuition, psychic ability, channeling. There's healing, teaching, ascending as a way to deliver a healing servant. One of the nice things is that everybody on the surface of this planet is entitled to his or her life as he or she chooses to feel, sense, think, and envision. And that's ultimately all we do. All we do within the context of our life is feel, sense, think, and envision who we are within the context of. And then we start filling in the blanks. And it's really curious to me that there are people that have this idea of worshiping the guru, worshiping some saint, worshiping some graven image. Because if the individual is no longer alive, it's just a graven image. They have passed, they have moved on, and right now it's time for an individual to go it alone so that enlightenment can take place, miracle-mindedness, and so on, so that expanded awareness can take place, where an individual isn't tied to the psychology and philosophy of mom and dad, or where an individual isn't tied to the psychology and philosophy of an outdated systems theory that's been outdated for the length of time it's been in print. And that goes for the Rig Veda, the Buddhist sutras, that goes for the Bible, that goes for the Quran, that goes for the Torah, that goes for the Kabbalah, that goes for any book that's been in print for a length of time. Every single book is outdated by the length of time that it's been in print, and that goes for anything. I don't care if it's A Course in Miracles. I don't care if it, whatever. I don't care. The thing that I have found is, and I write books, and yes, my books are outdated because what I understand now is greater than what I understood when I wrote the stuff. And so it becomes an interesting process understanding that, and yet they are useful. My clarity of insight is as good as it gets, and that's a cool thing. And I like the fact that I am consciously aware, and I don't hold to the fiction or the figment that there is an end point. I always get a kick out of it when the Hindu aspires to bliss consciousness as if it's an end in and of itself. That's an impossibility. Everything is an ending and a beginning. Endings are the beginning of something else. Something ends so that something else can begin. And that's true of everything from the human ideal as a state to every idea, every emotion, and so on. And yes, an individual can get to a point to where he or she can feel joy, can feel love, can see the light, and so on. But there's always opportunities in which there is greater mass and magnitude, the love and the light from a person, from a personal perspective into a relational, social, global, and universal level. One of the things that's interesting about human being is it's just not missing or lacking something. So people have to be careful of the idea of soulmate. And then people have to be careful of the idea of twin flame because it connotates that something external completes me, and that's an impossibility. We are complete in and of myself, in and of ourselves. And what I have found that when my soul incarnated into my body, that's the only soulmate that I have. My soul has made it to my body, and that's my soulmate relationship, my soul and my body. The only idea of twin flame that works for me is my love and my light of my twin flame. And yes, there is such a thing as companionship. I am fortunate that within the context of my life that I have finally met the ideal partner, and I'm 59 years old. And there's a misguidance that takes place when people get married and in their teens or early 20s, and that's their partner for the rest of their life, because it means that they haven't grown very much. Because the simple fact of the matter is I have gotten to a point to where I have grown so much that now I have literally met she who is the inverse rule of me, she who is my ideal as a woman, she who is the same level or parallel as me, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's a beautiful thing, and the sharing that takes place is unlike anything that I've experienced in the past. One of the nice things about being a human being is that an individual within the context of meditation can literally meditate into a given state, whatever that is, God, universe, and everything else in between. One of the nice things about that's useful about being a human is the information that comes. And it's curious, you know, when we look at the process, when we look at who we are, when we look at what's involved in the process, is that most of the things that we die for, death simply means that our existence is antithetical to itself according to an ideal that is self-sustaining, self-regenerative, and self-perpetuating, as is. The mind is self-sustaining, the body is self-regenerative, and the spirit is self-perpetuating within the context of that which is infinite or universal, that has no beginning or end to it, so to speak. And it's kind of fascinating because one of the things that we don't pay attention to in the composition of our life is we don't pay attention to those details that lend itself to who we are. And so what happens is within the composition or constitution of the body, life goes on, and basically we are outlived by the process of life itself because we don't understand what life is as a spirituality. According to Mayer Baker Reddy, who wrote The Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures back in 1866, which is when Christian Science started, she said it's not physical, it's spiritual. Matter is mortal mind. It's spiritual. And that was because she was a continuation of what began with Madame Blavatsky. If I know how to speak English, it would be great. Madame Blavatsky basically tried to tie her systems theory, her ideas, to science and religion, and she failed miserably. It was a complete failure because they don't work. Spirituality doesn't work within the context of science and religion. It works within the context of the individual who might be a scientist or a religionist. The idea is this. According to the New Dispensation, which began in 1850 with the Industrial Revolution, science and technology lacking a viable spirituality will lead to destruction and death. And in the ultimate sense, destruction of planets. And there are planets through the misuse of science and technology that have been destroyed. Asteroids are the remnants of planets that were destroyed by the misuse of power through science and technology lacking a spirituality. And what that means is every single scientist has to have a spirituality that actually corresponds to what spirituality is. And guess what science does? It denies the existence of God. It denies the existence of life. It denies the existence of the soul. It denies the existence of extraterrestrials. And it goes from there. That is why it is a protocol. It is why it is a systems theory. Religion, on the other hand, teaches false doctrine about God. Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and so on, all teach misguided ideas about God. It is false doctrine. Once God is conceptualized into an ideal, it is not God. The original state condition of God that precedes the universe is all-encompassing and is uniform and constant that never changes. And this is something people don't realize. Then we get into education. You'll notice that within the indigenous way of life, there was no such thing as education. They lived according to the spirit that guided them and led them within the context of stillness, peace, and harmony. Stillness is to the heart, peace is to the body, harmony is to the head. And there was a time when the lives of indigenous people in which they all got along with everyone, regardless of what tribe existed. The interesting thing about education is education teaches false doctrine in the sense that it's teaching people how to either start a business or get involved in a business. And more often than not, the practice of the business is based upon selfishness, greed, inconsideration, and so on. One of the more reprehensible things is you have people on this planet that are billionaires and you have people living in poverty, abject poverty. And so when we move from education is more a misguidance than it is anything else because it doesn't teach intuition, psychic channeling, so that a person can develop within the context of the spirituality where the contribution is made without expectation or want for self-interested gain. The other thing about education is it fosters the idea of competition and it fosters the idea of elitism and superiority, which is why people go to Stanford, they go to Harvard, they go to Princeton, they go to Oxford, because it's considered the best and it sets them apart from everyone else. Then we get into business, and business is primarily the idea of enslaving people so that people at the top make everything and people at the bottom make next to nothing. And that's the way it is. Walmart is owned by a family that takes billions to the banks. Everybody that works for Walmart makes enough money to qualify for food stamps, and that's reprehensible, and it should be unacceptable to us. Although we have to make our peace with what we approve of and what we disapprove of within the context of the law. Then we get into politics, and politics is a very curious thing because politics is basically the process of passing a law that allows those that are self-serving to basically remain greedy, belligerent, arrogant, and so on, and that's the political process. One of the curious things about social development with life on this planet is that if people are loving, forgiving, and to others, the necessity for laws doesn't exist. Laws are only necessary for selfishness and fear. One of the interesting protocols of the Catholic Church is that it came into existence because the powers that be discovered that if you have a fear, you can make lots of money, and the Catholic Church only exists for fear and greed, and that is it. And the content or construct within the context of the Catholicism as a systems theory is basically reprehensible, outdated, and more misguided than anything else. When we move into the arena of law, one of the curious things about law is it's the idea that there's such a thing as good versus evil, or the idea that one person is right and one person's wrong, and that's why it exists. It is curious within the context of our humanity why we choose to believe that, because the only thing that you have within the context of the only thing that you have within the context of the legal precedent is I'm right, you're wrong, and the court is going to allow me to be selfish. And it's primarily a form of selfishness more so than anything else. Now, there are those that are going to argue, well, it should be based upon justice. Well, justice is a curious thing, because if we understand love, forgiveness, and doing unto others, justice is completely rendered irrelevant as the same thing. Justice is the idea that somebody other than myself is going to get even for me. That's the idea of justice, that somebody is going to get even for me. I'm helpless, I'm powerless, so somebody who's in a power, someone who's in a position of power is going to get even with me. Well, here's the simple tidbit. The only way that a given thing is they have to have a guilt that allows any form of violence to take place. When we move into medicine, medicine is a curious thing, because medicine is the belief that life as it is in its natural state is diseased, and the only thing that takes place within the context of medicine is to reinforce that across the board. Medicine does nothing to heal the condition. A person who is on insulin for diabetes is not healed. They maintain that condition by taking insulin for the rest of their lives. And that's the role that medicine plays. And the curious thing about the medical profession is that every single disease that afflicts every single human being on this planet has been manufactured in some laboratory and has been deliberately introduced to the population at some time. AIDS was the case in 1984. Dr. Gould created it. It was deliberately introduced into Africa and into the gay areas of the United States in the hopes that the African-American woman would be exterminated, thereby eliminating the African race, and that gays would be eliminated by the same process, and that's a form of hatred within the context of the medical profession. And life goes on. The fortunate news is that there are ways that we can conduct our affairs that has nothing to do with the invader culture mindset. When we are looking at human beingness is specifically designed for compassion and kindness. We are only here to get along and be kind to one another, and that's it. Everything else is secondary to that. The only way that we get to a point within the context of our design is to be loving and wise, so that from the application of who we are, the life that we live and the life of others works. It only matters if it's contributed in some manner or way. It's the reason why I do this Blog Talk Radio show. I do this Blog Talk Radio show because an individual such as myself is responsible for sharing the information that the individual has, particularly if it's comprehensive, particularly if it pertains to realness and truth, particularly if it pertains to moving beyond aspects of limitation, unconsciousness, and so on. According to Neil Donald Walsh, the talk that I went to in October, 98% of humanity is unconscious. The number that I have is 99.98% of the human beings on the surface of this planet are steeped in pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide. And there's only approximately 2 million people that are actually living life according to some representation or some semblance of the human ideal. The simple truth of the matter is that there are 3 veils that an individual has the ability, has the opportunity of removing. It is the veil of access to God, the veil of confusion about life, the veil of forgetfulness involving one's own soul. If an individual does the work that's needed and necessary, the veils at some point will be removed. How long it takes is contingent upon the life of an individual. One thing I was told by a psychic way back when was that by the time I'm 60 years old, my life will be ambrosia. And I finally asked Kathy Bradshaw, what does ambrosia mean in that context? And she said the nectar of the gods. So it's something that I have, it's something that I get to look forward to because I will be 60 this year, the big 6-0. And I'm looking forward to it because the thing I like about my life is everything that I need within the context of my life to be successful as the human being that I am is in place. And I really like that about my life. I like the fact that I'm here in Mount Shasta. It's the right place at the right time for the right reason. I like the fact that Sandy is a part of my experience. She's the right woman at the right time for the right reason. I like the fact that I have books that are written. And the hope is that there comes a point in time in which people on a large scale read these books because my clarity of insight is as good as it gets, which means when you read my bodies of knowledge like Running from Karma, The Nature of the Self and the Social Evolution of Humanity, Love and Wisdom, The Art of Appropriateness, you're going to get very, very short, very, very comprehensive, very concise sentences. And the cool thing is that every single sentence is like a truth unto itself, and yet it is a composed body of knowledge. I have 8 books in print. I've written 17 books, and I'm working on 7 books as we speak, and I don't write every day now. I'm in a different phase of my path, and I'm hoping that things work out within the composition or constitution of my life so that I can get involved with teaching people, writing, playing music, and hanging out with the woman that I love in a kind and compassionate and amorous way. Gotta love it. So it becomes an interesting process. And the reason why it's interesting is because so much is going on. There are so many conspiracy theories in place, and then you look at, oh my God, this is going on and that's going on. Death, disaster, destruction. Death, disaster, destruction, and so on. I don't listen to the news. I don't read newspapers because from my experience, they don't exist. My life isn't death, disaster, and destruction. So from the perspective of my life, as the will of light and consciousness of God, Yahweh, and universe, my life is a representation of that and only involves with that. This is something people don't understand. It's real and true. If I am truly feeling joy and love and seeing the light, I can only be affected by that. I cannot be affected by fear if I am holding to love. I cannot be affected by pain if I am holding to joy. If I am being and knowing joy, love, light, that is the only thing that I can be affected by, which means that every single conspiracy theory, every aspect of amplified negative energy has no effect whatsoever on my life. And the nice thing is that I feel a sense of peacefulness that is so profound that it's very, very cool and very, very worthwhile and very interesting. And it's like anything else, you've got to love it. Not as much as I love the sound of Vince's voice over the phone. God, you got to love it. Love every vowel, every consonant. Love the sound of her voice over the phone. And it makes it pretty nice. Not as nice as it, of course, because she's a very nice lady. And she's trying to give it, and I give her a hard time from time to time. I'm hard on her at times because I feel like she's running out of time. She just went into knee surgery, and today is day 2. She's had the surgery has been open for about 30 hours. Now she's in. She's going to be getting involved in. She's going to be involved in the rehab and all that kind of good stuff. And we can all say our prayers and successful, and that she'll be able to walk now without pain, which has been something that's been going on for, I think it's been about a decade. Bad knees and all that kind of good stuff. One of the things that's nice is that an individual can have a positive lifestyle, and it's really cool because it just gets better and better. And yes, there are things that come up. there are negative things that come up, and how quickly does a person move from that? What does an individual want? One of the cool things about human beingness is it's half light, half dark, half love, half fear, and we polarize into either love and light or fear and darkness. That's what we do. And the cool thing is that within the context of my experience, I see so both side by side, and I choose which I want to feel and apply to my life. If I move into fear, that's basically what takes place, fearful things. If I move into love, loving things. And the choice is mine. I get to decide what I'm going to do in the composition or constitution of my life as the human beingness, which is simply a representation on a planet according to God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Id, mom and dad. And that is the runs the gamut of everything. And the work that we do is resolving our issues, developing our talents, conscious awareness as a contribution. One of the reasons why meditation is so important is that it allows an individual to be the beingness that knows as a contribution that eventually ascends, because ultimately the only thing a person is being is God, and what they're knowing is the universe, and that is what is contributed to others through resolved issues and developed talents. And so it is a curious thing. It's a curious process. And it's all around just a wonderful, a groove kind of thing. It's kind of like the idea, life is good, but not as good as you. Or from what I understand, most people are too good looking to have a bad day. I know that's the case with me. Oh, yeah. And that kind of stuff. And, you know, good days and bad days is only because the stuff hasn't been processed. Stuff hasn't been resolved. I haven't had a bad day ever. Even when things supposedly have taken place that are negative, which is a curious thing, a kind of an interesting thing, and so on it goes, and so on it goes, and so on it goes. You know, one of the more interesting things that I was told by a source is it's in the simple delights that gives the blessing to the human. I have a suspicion that what's going to happen is it's going to take me demonstrating God consciousness according to Zoroaster, enlightenment according to Buddha, combinedness according to Jesus, universal conscious awareness before people start listening to the sound of my voice, because it's almost like if you don't do a song and dance routine, people just don't get it. Even when Jesus demonstrated that to the Israelites, way back when, they still rejected that he was the Messiah, and Jesus was the Jew for the Messiah. And what the Jewish people don't realize is their experience of World War II was a direct result of the karma of them becoming God's chosen people. Because if you read the Old Testament, when Jehovah took possession of the Jews then systematically annihilated every tribe that surrounded them under the pretense that it was their God-given right to do that. Anyway, I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy. This is Welcome to My Point of View. Today's topic was human beingness, so I kind of touched upon the things that make us a human being, and then it just goes from there. And I do not lose faith that there will come a point in time in which humanity is going to evolve into its collective ascension, and the hope that I have is that I simply facilitate that. Anyway, I will do another show, same time, same place, and hopefully people get to a point to where they're interested in becoming conscious, because right now the majority of people on the surface of this planet are going to repeat their density on another planet. It has happened in the past. There is a race on this planet that ceased to exist on Mars, and they're continuing their evolution, and they are no closer to collective ascension now than they were 75,000 years ago before incarnating on the planet. Anyway, thank you and good evening. Bye.